Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Petty Little Things with your hosts, Victoria Secret and Davina Devine.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, petty bitches.
Welcome to Petty Little Things, an extra petty July edition.
This is Victorian Secret.
Victorian, and this is ye old Davina Devine. We are here. We are recording our first podcast where I think we've actually come back down to earth. Things feel actually normal.
I feel normal again.
I feel normal again. Yeah. It's taken a bit of time, but we're here. Anyway, we don't want to harp on. Pride is over.
Imagine for the sixth episode in a row.
I know.
Oh, Pride.
Well, remember, Pride is not just for June, blah, blah, blah.
Although I just did do Limerick Pride at the weekend, which is actually gas crack.
Well, actually, that's it. Like, Pride in Dublin is over, but I'm sure you're all still celebrating your prides all around.
Right, so more pride, everyone.
More pride, 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 pride. But I have to say, I'm still battling the trolls from some of those posts. Yeah, I'm still like the Ireland Down one. This guy basically sent me a post. I'm gonna read it to you. Because it actually...
Do you want me to get your glasses, Nanny?
No, hang on. I have lenses on.
Oh, she's lenses.
Right, okay. I got them good, though. Okay, here we go.
God.
Everyone's a little bit more vulnerable.
Mute
that, will you?
Okay. So he said to me, nobody, now this is, he's quoting what I said, nobody wants to infringe on your life. Jesus Christ, is he for real saying that? You shoving your rainbow flags down everyone's throat. You've had a month of it thrown in everyone's faces. You're teaching it to people's kids in schools. You never shut up about it and demand attention. Jesus Christ, like...
Okay.
That's what he said to me.
Did you say
that's what
back?
He said on the comment, and I said, oh, seriously? I said, laugh, laugh, laugh. And I said, shove, 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 rainbow flag, rainbow flag, rainbow flag. And I said, idiot, right? And then he said, yes, the LGBT movement is obnoxious. You're becoming absolutely unbearable. Nobody has a problem with your sexual preference or whatever you want to be. It's your constant need for attention, loud bullying behavior that everyone hates. Just get over yourselves and stick your pride months and flags where the sun don't shine. Now, imagine being so fucking consumed that you had to write that. And clearly, if nobody has a problem with your sexual preference and any of that, why are you even commenting that?
Yeah.
Because clearly you have. So yeah. I replied saying, ha, 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 thanks for the advice, buddy. Right? And I love saying that. I love that you're so rotted, even so much that you had to comment on this post. Ha, 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 ha. Right?
So your reply?
Which he replied and he said, Davina Devine, you've tried to spell rooted and you couldn't even do that. No, I spell rotted. I spell rotten, not rooted. And he said, you tried to spell rooted and couldn't do it. Enough said. Have a good day, sir. And I said, no, pig. I said, I meant rotted. R-O-T-T-E-D equals you. That's what I wrote. And he hasn't replied because I think I got the last
you
word.
You did.
But like rooted, who would like rooted? No, sorry. Yeah. You're rotted. You're not rooted.
Yeah.
So
like firstly, like the pronoun thing that like these people are like so like, oh, well, like they're so offended by pronouns, but then they like to throw pronouns.
Yeah. As if it's an insult.
As if it's an insult.
Yeah. So and it's like, that's really low hanging fruit. And also I'm not offended by it at all. No. But the fact I knew that he was rotted because he kept replying.
Yeah.
And I genuinely genuinely was like, ha, ha, ha. Because I was like, come on, bitch. Come on, bitch. Come on. You're messing with the wrong sir today. I was like,
the wrong sir.
The wrong sir today. I was like, fuck off.
You should have said that.
And then I was, I have to stop myself from just going right. And I'm like, your children look like monkeys. Or just like, I have to stop myself going in and saying something really like, you know, like basic bitch them. So yeah. I just think the best way to is just to laugh and just keep saying, when I said shove, pride flag. Like, I was like, actually, and that says it all. Like, that's, I still can't let them have, I'm still in that mind frame of, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm just like, actually,
there is no winning though. And that's the frustrating part with these people. They, like,
to be honest,
they're just
existing,
gonna keep coming
existing
back.
And keep
okay,
going
fair.
Is winning. Yeah. And I just think, like, you saying you're horrible, like vitriol towards me is not stopping me.
Yeah.
It's actually making me more gay. It's actually making me more proud. And it's actually making me want to go, fuck you, bitch. Like, so yeah, so if anyone is saying that, or you see that, if you see it online, well, here's what one thing I would say. Reply to them and make sure that they can't at you back, which is a good one.
Can you do that?
Yeah, you can turn off your ats so that they can't at you back. But yeah. I don't mind them at me back because I like to have the little tete-a-tete with them.
Well, you want the last word, bitch.
Yeah, well,
I know that well enough, yeah, that's well. For sure.
So yeah, so that's been going on there. You were at Limerick Pride. How was that?
I was at Limerick Pride. It was firstly supposed to be miserable weather, but it actually was fucking mm-hmm. gorgeous.
How was the Vivienne?
The Vivienne. Very skinny.
Really?
Oh, Ozempic? Very skinny. I mean,
come on.
I don't know, because she did Dance with the Sun. Oh no, what is it? Dance on Ice? Yeah. So yeah, she was like skinny.
Mm-hmm. Bob.
I presume it's from working out from the ice skating, no?
Well, like, that would be very physical.
That would. Yeah. I'm dying to know, what is the after the Ozempic thing like? When you come off the Ozempic, what happens? Do you gain the weight back?
Of course you do. It's like, and also they're saying now that there's so many people trying to get onto Ozempic to lose weight that it's actually, there's a shortage for diabetics who actually need it.
Oh, wow.
So that's like, that's a really, it's a big health scare. It's so probably in America, but like, I understand people, weight is a very touchy subject because I understand a lot of people struggle with their weight.
Mm.
But I think, like, unless you're really, really big and so big that you can't work out, you can't push yourself or even try,
mm-hmm.
I just don't think, I don't know.
You're against the idea.
I just think, and for your mental state more so, because I think your mental and physical are very combined. So I think by just sometimes when your body is skinny, but your mind isn't in the good space. Whereas I think exercising and doing that is actually good for the head.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think as well, though, if someone could get like a little head start, for instance, if they're really struggling, maybe it's no harm.
Yes.
Like, and then they could encourage them to like do other things. But also, like, is it coming from a doctor? Is that what it is?
Well, a lot of people are buying it like black market vibes. Oh. I've heard of that as well. And then that's the other thing. You don't know what you're taking. You don't know what the long-term health repercussions. And I'm not judging any of that. I'm like, you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
I just think that you do, like, as much as I hate exercising, well, you do. You can't deny it. You do feel better after actually exercising. And I understand how hard it is for people to lose weight. Like, I've been there myself, Jim. It's not a fun experience. But I think where we have to be getting to a place in society, though, I think as well, where, you know, there has to be a way where, like, there has to be these quick fixes. There's quick fixes for everything these days.
Yeah. So I want the quick fix for everything. I do know someone who's on the telly who is on Ozempic and has literally just lost 2 stone. Like, wow.
And also the other thing about it is it's more about being comfortable in your body. Do you know the kind of way? It's, and I think this whole skinny is better is not a positive message.
Do you weigh yourself though?
Never.
No.
I never. The only time I've ever weighed myself is when I had a trainer and they weighed me. And even I would never even really pay attention because it was always about how I felt.
Yeah.
And someone had said to me before, I've never really struggled with being overweight. So, but I can really sympathize that because I've had friends have been very overweight. So, and I get it. Like, and also people have been overweight and really fine with it, you know? So I think is about how you feel in yourself. And,
totally, yeah.
And I don't put any kind of, like, skinny is not better.
No,
I don't. I really do. And I know that for a fact, it's not better. Like, it's actually is about how you feel internally.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I judge how I feel actually a lot through my drag, if that makes sense.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
Because
if something doesn't fit or get a bit tight, you're like, oh girl.
Yeah. Or just if you see how it looks on you and it's not sitting how it was.
I think as well, there's a lot of pressure. I think when you do stuff on stage or Like if there's a lot of focus, like it's like age and it's like, you know, you see every wrinkle, you see. So there is a lot of pressure, but also I think you can kind of put that on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we can all, society puts it on us as well. So it's very deep conversation for us stepping into the podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, completely.
But it's, but it does affect everyone. You know, I think everyone has their own relationship with weight. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know.
Are you an emotional eater?
I'm a binge eater.
Oh yeah,
I'm a binge eater. Yeah. But
packet of biscuits gone.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't
pack of tail gone.
All stock must go. But I don't ever feel guilty about it.
No,
you know.
Yeah. You kind of are a bit balanced. Anyway, Camille, listen, we have someone from the telly on today.
We do.
We've got the lovely Alan Hughes.
Yes.
And it kind of got me thinking about all the different mad things that I've done on the telly. Like when I was telling them about my first little appearance. What was your first thing you ever did on the telly? Was it the Michael Jackson thing?
No, that wasn't on telly. The first thing, I probably went to movies first.
Oh, was this the In the Name of the Father?
Yeah, I actually was only looking at the clip the other day. I have it on my phone and I actually put it up on my Instagram.
Yeah.
But they blocked it because there's, I think there's a music. So then, okay. I was thinking, maybe should I post and mute the clip?
Yeah, mute the clip and put some of the music over it.
Yeah, I'll do it for this or when we're posting this.
Speak over it. Give yourself some lines.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, that's exactly what I do because I was kind of going, here I am now, coming around the corner.
You should that's do what that. I do. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, I will. I'll do that when this episode goes out. I'll do that because actually that's perfect. I think that was the first thing I ever did.
Yeah.
And I was only like, I think 9 maybe.
Do you remember though your first time doing it on TV and you got this awful dry mouth and like be like clearing your voice every 5 seconds.
Especially in drag. Or you know, like I remember years ago I always wanted to be on School Around the Corner.
Yeah.
And then you know, like, there would always be like a talent section where someone would get up and like sing a song and I was like, I always would love to sing What a Wonderful World. Like so funny.
I remember going to like, I think Ray Darcy had like a game show or something like that and my nanny brought me. I think my nanny really wanted to be a big star. Do you know what I mean?
When I think you're a granny, I think of like a brown haired Sophia Petrillo, like, you know, like Estelle Getty.
Yeah.
When she's not playing Sophia. Uh-huh. Like, so, and I feel kind of like she dressed real Miami vibes, but she liked dancing.
She loved dancing. Did but she? Like platinum hair. Oh, you got that wrong.
Yeah. Close. So I kind of had to see that sexy nanny feel.
And always like a nice tan. But like, so she brought me along to the Ray Darcy like game show that it was. And she made
What show
me,
was that? Do you remember?
I don't remember. It didn't last, whatever it was. Do you know what I mean? Like those game shows, like they how many do they do? And one less. So she sent me up and I didn't even want his autograph. I think she wanted his autograph. So she was like kicking me up, go ask for his autograph.
Do you remember there was a certain person that that we both know that used to hang around for celebrities to get their autographs? And now she's doing pretty well herself.
She's doing very well. Like, I mean, we're talking would wait hours and hours and hours, hours and hours and hours.
And pretend she was like, are you leaving? Bye. And you'd be like ushering them out and she'd be like, oh, I'm just waiting for a lift.
Yeah.
That, so she'd be waiting that for a celebrity.
Picture and the signature. That's never really carried a whole lot of weight to me. Like,
I think a lot of people become a celebrity obsessed because it validates something in them.
Yeah.
And it makes them, it feels like the celebrity is like a really important person. So they feel like if they get close to them, that they're important as well, which is kind of sad.
Who would you like to meet?
There's actually nobody I'd like to meet really. And I've often thought about this is like, I've always, the Spice Girls I loved, which I was quite, you know, everyone knows that.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to meet Katie Price back in the day. And she's kind of lost her, she lost her charm. But I did want to meet her and did meet her. And I wanted to meet Pamela Anderson. I met her. But there's no one else now that I would be excited to meet.
Yeah. I
probably random people, like people that no one else would be interested in.
I booked concert tickets this morning and it was a pre-sale. And just as I refreshed it and there was no standard tickets left because it's pre-sale. And there's only a few left. It's for an artist called Victoria Monet. I love Victoria Monet. She writes a lot of Ariana songs.
Okay.
And actually Ariana's very heavily inspired by her.
Okay.
You can feel it.
Which I feel like you'd be a bit old now for the likes of her.
Oh no, she's like this is R&B. This is like,
right. You're kind of into R&B, are you?
Like this is like grown-up music, girl.
Oh, okay.
Grown-up music.
Okay.
So anyway, I refreshed it and then there was like a VIP meet and greet tickets available.
Yeah.
So the regular tickets were like £30 or the meet and greets were £200.
Oh wow.
And I was like,
she's a big star then, is she?
Well, that's cheap, like.
£200? Very cheap, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So, and she's only doing one London date. And I was like, God, £200, like, do I really want to spend it? And I clicked it. And then I got really fucking excited. I was like, okay, this album I've listened to nonstop for almost 3 years. So, like, I am excited to see her, but also it won't mean to me what it would mean to, like, some people are just so intense about that stuff.
I know. And also, they feel like it's kind of like what Alan was saying in that interview. It's like, or what we were talking about, actually, it's kind of like people feel like they have a right to.
Yeah.
Like, if they pay that, that they have a right to access to you, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah, completely.
That's wild. Yeah.
But what celebrity did you ever wait for? Did you ever wait for anyone?
Oh, when I was a kid, we waited for the Spice Girls outside the Westbury Hotel.
Did you?
Yeah.
How long did you last?
Oh, I only lasted, I'd say, about 20 minutes. And I was like, I go, because my friend, she used to do it all the time. So she would have all these like intels with like this hotel.
Where they're going
to
be.
She knew where they'd be. And I was like, well, when, and she brought me one day because she said that the Spice Girls were in town. And I was like, oh my God, we're outside the Westbury Hotel. And I remember we were standing there. And when I got there, I instantly thought, these kids are nuts. Like the other kids that were there were like, they were there all day. They were soaking wet from the rain. And I was going, this is unhinged. I even knew then, I was like, we're only about like 13 or 14. I was like, this is, these bitches are crazy.
Yeah.
And we were standing there and they were like, and you know, they had nothing in common with each other except the fact that they loved celebrities. Uh-huh. So I was like, this is ridiculous. As I was like, I'm off. So I just like left them there. I was like, yeah, but they also wait because they wait on any old celeb to come out, which is kind of weird, you know?
I think I might have told this before, but like I waited outside all day for Robbie Williams because I fancied Robbie Williams so much. I thought like, did you fancy him?
I did for a moment. Yeah. Rock DJ time.
Jesus.
But I think that's just because he was getting kind of naked and it was a bit, he was a bit prick teasy, I think then.
He absolutely was. So I waited, but also my mom had paid for Grimes in the, what's that place on Leeson Street called?
The Institute. Yeah.
So she found out a week later and she was fucking furious. They were so expensive. Yeah, like,
they still are, I think.
And so I waited. I made all these new friends for the day and I don't even think he was in that hotel.
No, and see, there's a lot of that as well. It's like kind of all these weirdos hanging around outside and then you're like, what's going on? Actually, speaking of that kind of moment, I remember our past drag sister, Misdemeanor.
Oh, yes.
She used to work in the Westbury Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember one time she, it was after, it was around when Britney was doing the Onyx Hotel tour.
Okay.
And Britney had just stayed in the Westbury when she was in town.
Okay.
And Demeanor brought me up to see the room where she had stayed. So I went to have a little room because it was in the penthouse.
That's kind of fun.
It was kind of,
yeah, that's fun.
She was like, she gave me a tour. She brought me up and they had like a gym and you could overlook, well, say gym. There was like a treadmill and it was like kind of basic. But then there was like a bathtub with a TV in it, I remember. And you could look out, it was over. The view wasn't great now either, but the room was lovely. There was like a dining room and I remember thinking, this is fab. Like just here, I was like, Britney was here. Like just a hot minute going, you feel right? Like, oh, so close to Britney. and speaking of Britney, her book is coming out.
I know.
Did you see this?
Yes. Okay. Well, clearly she didn't write it for a start. Someone like interviewed her basically.
Yeah.
And then they fleshed something out. But like, she's kind of friends with her mom again and her sister,
right?
Well, like she's referenced them on her Instagram a bit. So like, she's hardly about to read them to filth if they're getting a bit closer again.
Oh, I don't know. Well, the book is out. It's called The Woman in Me. And it's out, I think, in October, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is probably...
That's also a great title for a drag queen too. The Woman in Me.
Well, come here. I was actually thinking about like names that she could have used. Okay. I was like having a little think there. Like,
stop.
Yeah, I was having a little think, right? So I was just like going through it like, and I was thinking she could have called it Overprotected.
Oh yeah,
that'd be good, wouldn't it? Overprotected. She could have called it Overprotected and Unloved, or Overprotected. Oh. All right, and then I was thinking, give me more freedom. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Brilliant.
Toxic parents. They drove me crazy. That was good, isn't it? Okay. Me against my family and everyone else. And the last one I had was, till the conservatorship ends.
That's how good. Was there no slave for something?
Oh, slave.
Slave for you, what was?
Slave for you all could have been a good one.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Like, I was going through, there's so many, wasn't
it? You were burly, weren't you?
Yeah. I did it on the bus coming
did
in.
You?
I swear to God.
That's
I literally,
fucking gas.
Because I was like, I was going through the celeb stories of what's going on and I was like, oh God. And I was like, I actually don't like the title of that book.
Yeah.
She could have been a bit more pun heavy.
It's a little bit naff, is it?
Do you know what else as well? I was flicking, you know, we were talking last episode about the Titanic submersible.
Yes.
And we were saying how everyone is obsessed. And people are still talking about it.
Okay, yeah.
Like, see, like every time you say, oh God, is it mad what happened at that Titanic submersible? And then everyone is kind of saying, I said on my show on Thursday, I was like, hands up if you would actually still take a chance and go down to the Titanic. And loads of people put their hands up.
Wow.
Loads of people put their hands up. And that just kind of got me thinking. I was like, why are we so obsessed with the Titanic? It's wild.
Yeah.
But as I was looking at videos last night on YouTube, did you ever hear about the MS Estonia?
No.
So I never heard about this either. So the MS Estonia was this like, basically like an Irish ferries vibe, and it would go around like the Baltics. So it would go from like, say like Estonia to like Helsinki or to like, you know, all through the Baltic Sea, which is like quite treacherous, loads of icebergs and stuff. And it was like one of the, it was built in the 80s, but basically kind of then around like late 80s, they had that roll on, roll off, you know, like that's basically what the Irish ferries is now. People could drive their cars on and drive it off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in 1994, they basically were going from Estonia, I think it was to Helsinki, and they sent sending out maydays, basically that there was a problem that they were like tilting. The ship was going 20 degrees, 30 degrees to the like the to the right or to the left.
Yeah.
And the winds were so strong, the rain was really heavy. And people were like, so they were sending out distress signals. And basically what had happened was like the very front of the ship, the hull. What are you laughing at?
You say basically so
I know,
much.
Sorry.
When you're like, telling a good juicy story, you're like, and then to get to the basic point
so
of it.
Basically, you're all right.
Go on.
So the front of the ship, which was, I never kind of saw in a boat before, was like, you know, the point is the hull? Is the hull?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the hull. So that would like lift up like a visor.
Okay.
And the boats and the cars would drive on.
Yeah.
So that was kind of going along. But basically when so when all the cars would go on, like on the trucks and everything, the weight wasn't properly disputed.
Oh, okay.
So it was heavier on one side. So they were tilting to one side. But that is kind of common in a lot of those shit. That can kind of happen but they can still get through.
Yeah.
So then what happened is the waves were so big that they basically, now you make me think about it. Crashed into the front of the hull and basically put a big hole in the boat.
Oh my God.
And the thing just started like filling with water.
Yeah.
And it sank in like no time. And that was only in 1994. And like 852 people died.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Crazy. And some people that were left in the water, very Titanic style, were like floating on things. People were in their cabins because it was like an overnight kind of ferry.
Yeah.
But I never heard about that.
So there was no survivors?
No, there was a few survivors, but they said that the only people that kind of survived were like really strong people.
Yeah.
Because the weather conditions were awful. Like really cold, 20 meter waves, like horrific. Like the Titanic was calm when that sank.
Yeah.
But I never heard about that.
No,
and
never.
It was like, and that was like just a ferry. Like imagine going to,
where's, you know, their movie?
Imagine going to like Rosslare to, you know, Le Havre and then going, ah!
Right, well, I'll tell you this much, right? So over the years of like doing those tours, sometimes we'd be on like a double-decker bus, and the double-decker bus would have 16 beds on it. And you'd be drinking loads and like not sleeping.
You're talking about the drag race tours.
Sorry, the drag race tours, yeah. And to get between Ireland and England and bring the tour bus, you had to take the ferry.
Yeah.
The ferry takes just over 4 hours.
That's not bad.
Totally not. But, you know, it's an hour before and maybe an hour afterwards that you're not really allowed on your bus and stuff like that, right?
So the bus has to be on an hour before?
Yeah, you're loading on an hour before, basically. Okay. So they drive on. They go around the basement area, like what you're describing. Yeah. And I kind of remember this lip thing that would go up and down, but it wasn't completely sealed off. And you had to get off the bus, right? You have to. Now, you might have been locked and up drinking all night.
Which some of them were.
And like some of them definitely were. Mm. So what happened the first time, what happened was someone never got out of their bunk because they were like KO'd. They were absolutely in bits locked. And everyone was upstairs and already, because they seal the basement, you can't get back down.
Yeah.
So if you're in there and there's a problem or it starts to like take on loads of water, you're sealed in that. So you're like a goner because of that. And we were like, oh my God, where's that person? Where's that person? And we were all freaked out.
Who was it?
Just
say it and we'll beep it out.
Okay, beep it out. I think it was.
Oh, right, okay.
Bleep that, please. So anyway, they woke up so refreshed. All of us were getting back on the boat at like 8 a.m. And the other part of it is you get back on the boat at 8 a.m., but then normally you have to get off the bus at 11 so the bus can go park somewhere, especially in Dublin, because you can't park outside Vicar Street or Olympia. So it would have to park like miles away. So you wouldn't have slept at all, really. And the next time after that, then loads of people start to sleep on the bus. Loads of people were like, so you'd have to turn off all the lights on the bus and not move. Like,
would they go mad? Like, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's kind of terrifying.
It is, but also you
especially after just hearing that story that I just said. I'm like, wow.
I'm sure some people were like, okay, what's a worse fate? Is it to go under with the bottom of the ship or get a bit of sleep? Do you know that kind of way?
Oh God, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Isn't that scary?
But yeah, but it was just after the Titanic thing, I was just thinking like, we never heard about that. And that was equally as tragic as, if not kind of a bit more because it's modern times.
Yeah.
Like 94 was only, 30 years ago?
Yeah.
And when they showed like a visual of how it happened and it went down so quick. Uh-huh. Like the boat, like, so there was no hope for those people. And it was in the middle of the night. So it was terrifying.
That is so scary. Do people still do booze cruises? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I think not so much, especially with duty free now, because it's back between the UK and Ireland, probably more so. Also, what was I going to say to you as well? I think it's Royal Caribbean is launching a new cruise ship. It's called like Splendor of the Seas or something. See that? And it's massive.
Yeah.
And I saw one of the comments underneath was, with all the news about ships lately and bragging about unsinkability, this isn't going to read well or something. And I was like, that is, and as much as I love a cruise all, it's like, it is kind of fascinating, isn't it?
It is fascinating, but also, oh God, actually now after all that, like, cause I have a hankering to go back on a cruise.
Me
that
too.
I loved it.
Me like, too. That's why I'm kind of getting to this. I'm like, when are we going?
Yeah, when are we going? But like, with all of that, would that put you off at all?
That's my whole point. This whole conversation is that I'm like that. They went down to submersible, and when I asked the George, I was like, who would still do this? People were like, I would.
Yeah,
me,
yeah,
me,
yeah,
me.
Yeah, 100%. I think I would. I mean, I wouldn't go down to the Titanic. Sounds too cold. And what if I need a poo? You know what I mean? Not doing it.
Very treacherous.
Very treacherous. Well, come here. We have a friend on the show today.
Yes, we do.
I'm excited. It's Alan Hughes. He's been in broadcasting on TV for like over 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's actually, we've already pre-recorded this interview an hour ago. It's so good. So you're in for a juicy chat.
And a bit of crack as well.
Bit of crack. But let's do a little shout out to some of our new
Patreons.
Now, if you don't know what Patreon is, it's a way that you can support the pod. You can go on, you can support us from as little as €2 a month. And you can get extra content. So we've got extra episodes. We've got some video content up there. And Davina's nudes are also up there. You can enjoy that.
Can you put news on Patreon?
I actually don't know. Should we try?
I think you can.
Let's start with my burger nipples and your...
Oh my gosh.
Oh, your claw feet. Let's do your claw feet. Okay, let's do a couple this week. I'm going to name them. You're going to say hello.
Okay.
First off, we've got Claire L.
Claire L?
Yeah, Claire and then L.
Okay. Just,
Claire doesn't want us to know her surname.
Claire L. It's like Claire All, but like Claire L.
Very good. Yeah. Claire's actually signed up for the whole year. There is, by the way, if anyone's noticed, there's now a discount if you sign up for the whole year.
Well, so, welcome aboard, Claire.
Claire likes the deal. Do you know what I mean?
We're Claire from Liverpool.
Oh, I love that, Claire.
Hi, Claire.
Next up, Adam O'Donoghue.
Actually, no, it would be a drag name for her, E. Claire.
Oh, E. Claire.
E. Claire.
We knew an E. Claire, actually.
Yeah, she got so sweaty and she was just basically standing still. Her lashes would fall.
Yeah, we love that. Okay, Adam O'Donoghue.
Adam O'Donoghue. Hi, Mr. O'Donoghue. Welcome aboard. What did he sign up for?
He is a petty little lady.
Oh,
yeah.
Hi, lady.
Yeah.
Hi, lady.
Up next, Brian W.
Hi, Brian. Brian W. W stands for walking.
And lastly, some aboard, Gareth.
Oh, Gareth. Gareth. Is it with T or H?
It's just with a T.
T.
So, Gareth, is it?
Spill the T, Gareth.
Yeah, sounds a little Protestant. Yeah. To me,
welcome
to be
aboard. Welcome aboard.
Okay, we'll be back just after this little jingle with Alan.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We'll be right back.
So we have survived Pride Month, and because Pride is all year round for us, we've decided to have one of Ireland's most iconic TV faces from the queer community. It is Alan Hughes is here in our studio.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Alan.
How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, Ireland.
What's it like? For my first question is that I was dying to ask you is how do you cope with the early mornings of morning TV?
You never do.
Never?
No. Like, doing it 21 years and you never get over it.
That's wild.
The alarm goes off most mornings and you're going, Jesus, hard to
get
up.
And what time would like a normal day start at?
To me, it's actually quite late compared to some others. Okay. Like Tommy gets up at 4 o'clock.
Jesus.
I get up at 10 to 6.
Yeah. Oh, well. Wow.
look at the faces.
What's
going.
The difference?
10 to 6.
Is that just because he's afforded to travel, is it?
Yeah, well, Tommy comes down from Belfast. But even when before Mark and I was there, they used to get up. I get up at 10 to 6. I'm in for makeup at 6:30. We do a quick run through and we're on at 7.
Oh, great. Yeah.
So, because I've been doing it
21 years. Like, yeah. Nothing's daunting, I'd say.
No, nothing major, unless you've sort of like the Taoiseach in or something like that. And then you're sort of there's an awful lot of prep going into that. Yeah. But normally, just on the day to day thing, like, I'm in at 6:30 straight into makeup to try and do something with my face. you should know all about that.
Oh, God. That's much so. I just don't know. Like, I feel like if I was doing anything in the morning time, like, we've done the odd bits like that early, and you'd sometimes like you literally do feel like crying sometimes, but you'd almost need need some kind of mask or really big sunglasses.
Yeah, if you've been out the night before, which I very seldom do, but there are obviously things that you do go, you don't want to like, oh, I can't go out because it's Wednesday night, and then the next morning and you're looking at yourself at 6:30 and you're going, oh, please do something with this, please, at my age, dear, at my age.
And come here, like, that's kind of one question leading into the next.
I'm not telling you how old I am. Sorry.
We would never ask that on this.
You never ask a lady her age.
That question is bad for our podcast. You didn't ask Mr. Fuzzy, you won't ask
him. Oh, well, everybody knows he's 102.
So we were saying about like the early morning. So like Ireland AM, of course, is like Ireland's top morning show. It's been for like, how long is it on the air now? It's like, it's
21 years. It's 20, yeah.
So you were there from the very beginning.
I was there from the very beginning with myself, Mark Cagney, and Amanda Byram.
Wow, so she was the
it was myself, Mark Cagney, Amanda Byram, and we launched it 21 years ago.
That's wild. And like in all that time, like it's been really strong, still gets the viewers, people still love it.
Yeah.
And like RTÉ has definitely tried different things morning time. Why do you think it's lasted like and been kind of the favorite?
I think it's because we always people see us and they know we're enjoying it. And I think especially with myself, Tommy, and we're in at the moment, I've always had fun on the show. Always had fun. And I think that comes across. I think people are, they're looking in the morning and they want to see, they want to see a bit of familiarity first of all. And during COVID, the amount of messages we got, because we never came off air.
Yeah.
We were there all the way through. And the amount of positivity we got from viewers who just sort of said, you were my stable, something that I could look at that was the same.
When everything was so upended.
When everything was so upended that they could turn on Ireland DM every morning and watch us, like stupid things we did, the Zoom calls, the nightmare. If I was to draw with Don Conroy one more, and he's on Zoom, and I said, not another bleed now, I'll have to draw another owl. Was like, or making wreaths, or we were doing things. Oh, like the stuff we did, when you look back at it, you go, Jesus.
And do you ever get that when you get the list of like features and things that you're going to do, and you go, oh my God, like, where you're just like and I feel like they always kind of give you things like that.
They do.
Kind of always trying to test
they say, they would say, Alan could polish that shite. Yeah.
Because whenever we've never been on the same time, we've been on a few times, and we're always like, we're never on Alan. Like, what is that about?
It's all,
like,
I always keep missing you. Yeah. I always ask when I see your names, can I be off that day?
that makes sense.
This year when we went to, we were like, oh my God, we asked if you see our names on the list, you're like, God, what are they going to make us do
no,
today?
I'd love to. I'd like, yeah, but I mean, and you see what Martin did, I thought was brilliant for Pride,
dressing up
ugliest drag queen in the world.
Well, he's just great crack, isn't he? Like,
but he hated it.
Well, I heard as well that he didn't kind of put on the gear. He just put on a coat over his shirt.
time. And people always say to me, have you ever done drag? Yeah. I've never done drag.
Never.
Like done panto for 25 years. Yeah. We're 25 years doing panto this year. And I've obviously got into the sort of tights nearly that you do for panto.
Well, Sammy Fosters is kind of drag.
Yeah, I think so too, a little bit, yeah.
But I've never actually done the full makeup, done the wig, never. Yeah. And it's mad. And I don't think I want to either, especially after seeing Martin King.
I think you make a good drag queen.
Do you know who I'd love to do? Tommy Bow.
Oh my god. I might do Tommy Bow.
I bet you would. There'd be a few people lining up to do that makeup.
Tommy Bow is one of those people throughout the last 10, 20 years that we've always been like, Jesus.
The last time I was on Ireland, I think it was to talk about Eating with the Enemy or something, and I was waiting outside and I saw Tommy was at one and went to an ad break, and I was like, oh fuck, because I was like this, scrubbing the lipstick off my teeth. I was like this, and literally he walked out and he goes, how are you? And I was like, hi.
He's an absolute dote.
He's an absolute dote.
Like everyone sort of, you know, like you have this bromance between us, but we just get on so well.
He's just so easygoing.
He really is. He doesn't really care.
No, and you can really feel that he's very comfortable, which is like, you know,
in any situation or any topic. Yeah, also, you can really see that you're having a crack with him. Yeah. Like you absolutely can.
No, we
like,
do. We laugh. The three of us, even there was some, like even we had Una Healy in today, and she was just, she's going to be doing bits and pieces with us over the summer, and she was even saying, my god, the atmosphere here today is just so light. But it's like that every day. We just, like when we're off air, we're always like showing each other videos or something on phones and stuff like that, and we're like laughing, like it comes back to us. And Tommy's a real, like just before it comes back after commercial break, he'll say something and then you could be going into really something serious and you're there trying, don't laugh.
That's gonna kill me now, because if I have to laugh, I'm like, I'm gonna hell. Yeah. But speaking of, like, you know, because I'd say you have to have the chemistry with people as well. And I'm, over the years, I've definitely seen many incarnations. And don't get me wrong, I don't know why I'm like acting like I'm always up watching RDM,
because you're not.
I could be coming home.
I think that's more the scenario.
I'm not up having a cup of coffee, getting ready for the day. I'm usually wrapping it up. But like, you know, you'd see different incarnations of like different groups of people, and you'd see different people. You can tell, I think, on screen. And that's part of the fun, though, as well. It's kind of saying, do they get on?
Yeah. It was the whole thing recently with Philip and Holly and all. Yeah. They were going, oh, I knew they didn't like each other. Yeah, of course they did. They got on really well. And it was just a falling out. And I understand that she, like, look, she has to protect her brand. It is a brand. Yeah, and she had to just separate it, whether it was right or wrong. Yeah. I understand that she was getting advice probably from people saying, you need to step back away from this now, because your brand is going to be damaged with this as well.
It was kind of a crazy situation, wasn't it?
I felt very sorry for everyone involved in that whole thing. Yeah, it was a bad situation.
And regardless of what went down, I just don't think, it just didn't look good. And it was kind of very hard to salvage, you know, that kind of way. So it was just, it was kind of like,
still hanging over them. Trying to figure it out, but I'd say that I'm thankful the BBC are dealing with all that stuff at the moment.
And I don't know if it's the same, if you feel the same, it's like, you know, that the show will always go on,
but the show does go on. Look at it at the moment. And I mean, I've been watching it since then, and I think like the people who are in, like Craig is doing a brilliant job with Holly. And I mean, if he, then people next year will think, oh, Craig's always been there with Holly.
But
I've always said it when like contract negotiations come up and people go, ah, they'll always keep you're part of the furniture out there, and I'm going, no one is irreplaceable. Everything moves on, nobody's irreplaceable.
You do bring some magic though, that like it is unique to yourself. You have to own that too, you know.
It's probably called camp, isn't it?
Good point. You were on that show 21 years. Ireland was very different 21 years ago. How has it been like being out and just like open with everyone throughout your whole time on TV?
See, I always have been open, and that's the thing. Like, myself and Carl are 30 years together.
Wow.
So like when we met 30 years ago, like the year we met, it was still illegal to be gay in Ireland.
Okay.
So imagine that, like where you
felt. That was actually 1993.
We're 30 years this September, on the 30th of September. Big party, have to invite us.
Put in the diary.
It's on a Saturday. So it was very different, but I remember then when I got Ireland in, because I was doing a game show on RTE called Talk About before that. And I remember the producer saying to me that I had to be very careful in okay. what I did. Not saying okay. you can't be gay, you can't yeah, be doing yeah. anything, but how I lived my life. Okay. Like, question mark, oh, wow. question mark.
Okay.
So I took that as like, okay, maybe you shouldn't be going to gay bars. You shouldn't be doing this. But then...
Like, is that in your private life?
Yeah, oh, very much so,
they told
yeah.
you that you couldn't kind of
not,
do...
Not tell me, like, just but just... Careful. It was okay. just said of being like, let's not flaunt this wow. or let's okay. not do this, you know, yeah, because yeah. that was like 26, 27 years ago. Mm. But it was from day one on Ireland AM... I've always mentioned Carl.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. We've always, because if Mark was talking about his wife, I would talk about Carl, or I'd sort of say, like, I give Carl a terrible time on yeah. air. So, no, I do. He never watches. He's yeah. never up. So I can say what I like. And he'd be sort of getting messages on Instagram or something like that, or I'd get some messages on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And then be sort of going, were you talking about me this yeah. morning? I said, no, I was ripping you to shreds on the show.
And like, you know, you were saying, so you were in RT before that. And like, you know, especially kind of back then, there is that kind of like the, and there is a lot of kind of like LGBT people in TV
totally.
A lot behind yeah. the scenes totally, and on camera yeah. and they do kind of tend to kind of flock together a little bit, don't they?
They do a bit, because I mean, I suppose you have something in common
yeah.
and mm. you sort of do form a bit more of a camaraderie with
totally.
them, like the producers or directors or whoever who are yeah. in the LGBTQ plus community. Did yeah. I say that right? If yeah, I ever leave a letter okay. if I ever leave a letter, if I leave a letter out, we get complaints.
Yeah, but you know what,
yeah.
Like, it's all about like just people making an effort to say whatever yeah. is the correct thing.
And yeah. I would say it's intention as well.
So intention.
Like, if somebody is intentionally kind of trying to be, you know, in offensive, whatever, that's different. But like, listen, we're living proof. We're living it.
Oh, yeah. So I'm just like, people have a yeah. fear of saying things yeah. wrong. They're actually going to probably make even more mistakes. Well,
it is true, because I'm leaving a letter out or something like that. And mm. you don't, obviously we don't, because like Ireland AM, in all the years we've been doing, mm. we're so pro the LGBTQ plus.
Well,
like, we're so pro. Mm-hmm. But I've left a letter out and the complaints come in and all
what
like that.
Did you leave
out? I can't remember. It's probably plus. I still don't understand what plus means.
More.
Yeah. We were just talking about how much you all did during Pride Month. It was really, really yeah. impressive to see. I mm. feel like this year there was more visibility on the station than ever before, like all across the programs, and definitely leading the way in terms of media. Like, if
I think we do in that respect, yes. I think we're not afraid to discuss things, and we never have been. We've never been afraid to discuss topics about gay community or trans.
Is that an open conversation though? Because it definitely feels more open and more relaxed. It definitely does. Like, even when you do something on RTE as opposed to TV3 or I call it TV3,
Virgin Media.
You do feel it's much more relaxed. So is there an open kind of
there is a very vibe. Much an open vibe, and I think that is because it's a commercial station, and yeah. there just is more of an open policy.
Yeah.
I think that's under the Virgin mm-hmm. umbrella, that it is yeah. an open policy with workplace and with everything that they do there. So I think there definitely is that sort of feel there cool. that you. Like, anybody can express their yeah. feelings. Now, I don't know if I decided that I want to start wearing a dress next week on air. whether they'd be happy with that.
Maybe Marty, you
could borrow one of Marty's. I could borrow one of Mirren's. No, God, they'd be way too short.
And you just kind of touched there about, you said you were doing that game show on RTE. Mm-hmm. Like, when did you start in TV? How did you get into that?
Do you know what? My first thing, I was a train announcer in Houston Station.
No way.
The 0730 hours train to Cork, now to particle platform number 2.
I can actually hear that.
So fun. I yeah. really enjoy that. So like, away. Excuse me.
Calling at Kildare.
I
did that for about a year and a half. And then I was always into like doing acting and stuff like that. And then I went and I was one of the world famous Bunratty entertainers.
Okay.
Oh, tell us about that. Tell us what's that.
That was my first experience with okay. tights. and a dress. Because they literally did wear those velvet.
Like the ye old costume.
Yeah, the ye old costume. So it was basically a dress and tights every yeah, night. Nice. And I mainly worked in the Pogue Castle, with a beautiful castle outside outside Limerick in Quinn. Yeah. And it was beautiful. And yeah. I did that for about 3.5 years.
Wow.
So I was the butler of the evening, and
that's
all the girls.
Feast, isn't it?
Yeah, they have the bang. banquet. The feast.
You would love that though.
I could see myself playing green sleeves.
I'm telling you. Yeah. That's the way they do it. But yeah, I did that for about 3 years and that really got me into I loved doing that. And then just did sort of TV ads or the famous ESB ad with Dusty Springfield. Think I'm going back.
Well, I don't think a lot of people know that as well. Like, so
it's running again.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, like those who are listening in the UK, where we have a ad that's on every Christmas. What year did that air? It must have been like the late 80s.
Oh God, that was 100 years ago.
It was for like
it was
gas.
The ESB.
Was it ESB?
Yeah,
gas.
ESB gas.
ESB.
But not close enough.
Actually, we're all being brought by all of them now these days. And tell us a bit. So it was basically about you kind of coming home.
It was
for
about
Christmas.
Yeah, and I think that's what struck the chord. It was about me coming home and the mammy was in the house turning on the lights, turning on the oven, making the brown bread, wasting electricity. The dad picks me up at the train station. I was going through all these fields and scenery to Dusty Springfield's song Going Home. And if anybody knows that song, play it. And it's just a beautiful song. And it just hit a resonance with people. Uh-huh. And then the ESB kept bringing it back year after year. Yeah. And I never did a buyout, so I made a right few bob on that.
Oh, well, that's amazing.
Honestly, that was in the back of my mind. I was like, I'd say you're thrilled. That's back. Because the nostalgia ads are all starting to come back as well. People are loving that, like tapping into what they can't get anymore. Also, I don't think there was a dry eye in the house like back in the day. If you'd had a few wines and that was on.
Especially mothers, I think it did hit home because that was the time a lot of people were going to Australia and America and stuff like that. And just for them to be returning home, even if it was for Christmas, it did strike a chord at the time. And I still think it's a lovely ad.
A lovely
and
ad.
It's one of those ads when you think of in Ireland that the ads that are in the top five or six, it always comes always up. There, it's always in that. So that was nice to do. And I did loads of other things like that. And then sort of, then did Talk About and then Ireland AM.
What was Talk About?
Talk About was a quiz show where you had 20 seconds to talk on a subject. So if I said 20 seconds, talk about wigs. Okay. And then you had to hit a load of like words that would be associated with wigs.
You know what topic we could talk about 20 seconds? You can believe it's out.
Please do pick that out, Stephen.
We always like little jokes, so we're like, that would be our mastermind subject. So like,
right. Aww. 30 seconds on, go.
Yeah, there we go.
So that was that and did that for about 3 years. That was on RT at 8:30 on Friday night. So it was real prime time stuff. But and then that came to an end. And then Virgin Media or TV3 at the time were looking for presenters for Ireland
Disney,
AM.
Disney Station.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And I remember going up and Maura Duran did the actual audition with me because she was there at the time. And I remember getting up, we were dancing on I got her dancing on the table and everything like that. And I remember the person who was hiring just went, that's it. That's all we need.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was as simple as that.
Amazing. I'm just after having a flashback. I was on Ireland AM when I was about 15.
Oh.
15 or 16 with Super Value, then Super Quinn. Yeah. They had us on. And I think it was about bag packing because we all had to do training on how to pack bags in the
really?
Shop. But I can't remember what it was on, but Fergal Quinn got a couple of us in from the Black Rock shop. And I'm trying to remember. I'm almost sure you were on that episode, but it was
Do you see the shite we've done over the years? Absolute polishing shite.
In my head, I was thinking about, imagine some poor fucking Elwin sitting at home and watching, like, this is how we're going to pack the bags.
This is how you pack your shopping to get the most out of your plastic bag.
It was probably something to do with when the charge came in for the plastic bag.
It must have been like,
save your money, only have one bag.
Yeah, it must have been something like, bag for
he was like full of notions. We all got brand new uniforms that day. So we were gorgeous on the telly.
Fab. Love that.
And you said Amanda Byram, who of course went on to do like The Swan and The Dreaded Swan, which I love that show. It was like
me too.
Toxic as hell, but loved it. And then she did, but she was doing something recently as well. Like, would you still keep in touch with those people from the start?
Not necessarily Amanda because she's like, she sort of has moved to the UK. Yeah. But like, I would keep, if she's back or wherever, we sort of say we'll try and meet up. But like, and normally when she's home, she's promoting something.
Yeah.
So she's on the show. Yeah. So we get a catch up.
That's perfect.
But man, she's always been lovely and she's so down to earth. Yeah. She's so down to earth.
Is there one person that you would absolutely adore to see back on the couch with you?
I can't say that. I'm having a wonderful time with Tommy and Myrn at the moment. I thought you were going to say, is there one guest that I wanted to ever interview?
We'll come to that as well.
All right.
Is there anyone that you would love to interview? Because you've done loads of celeb interviews as well.
I've done loads of celebs over the years. The one person that kept evading me and is Bette Midler.
Oh, wow. Oh. And it just kept not happening.
And the last time she was doing her tour, her arena tour, I was lined up to do it and go to London to interview, and that fell through and stuff like that. But she's the one that I want to get.
And tell us a little bit about the Ellen situation, because I know there was an Ellen story. I don't know, there's an Ellen story. Can you talk about that?
How do you know about the Ellen story?
Because I think you said it on.
You said it on air. Okay, so when myself and Carl got married, we went to LA for our honeymoon, LA and San Francisco. And Ellen was shown on TV3 at the time. Yeah. And the head of publicity in TV3 arranged for us to go to the Ellen show.
Amazing.
With the producers over there. Couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah.
Ellen was lovely to us, called us down, made a big deal of us in the audience and stuff, and then took us backstage to meet her mother and Portia. Oh, wow. And the producer was fabulous. I was saying to Carl, we're moving to America. We're in with Ellen. Yeah. We're moving to America. So then when she was doing Finding Nemo and...
Finding Dory.
Is it Finding Nemo? Was it not the first one? What was the first one?
Oh, the first one was Finding Nemo. And it then was Nemo, the Dory one, wasn't it?
But anyway, whatever one she's the fish in.
Yeah.
She's a fish in both of them, I think. So I went over to do the junket. Yeah. And I went in and I thought, I'm in here with Ellen. This is going to be fabulous.
Yeah.
So I went in and my first thing with her was... I just want to thank you for making myself and my husband, we were on our honeymoon with your show and you were so good with Portia and your mom and the producers and all. And she just looked at me and she went,
Oh my gosh.
I froze. I thought she was going to go, that's great, remember.
Yeah.
And then she was really narky through the whole interview. I was just going, fucking bitch. Because when you just go like that, you think you're an in with somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And she was then, I just couldn't get over it. And then you're not supposed to take pictures with any of the stars when you're doing these junkets. It's just a no-no. Mm. And I said, you've been such a fucking bitch. And I took out my phone and I went, you did the selfie at the Oscars. Here you go. And
did you do it?
Yeah. I took the big selfie and then I could see her PR running over to me. And going, so that's up on the Insta now. I keep moving it up from time to time. when kids get reported on her, I go, wait till I tell you about my Ellen story.
I love it. She said you're just kidding.
I tell her,
I love that.
That's
so unfortunate though, because it almost steals your original moment. Yeah.
I was telling everybody, because then I could sort of, when the whole thing came out about her and bullying like that, I sort of said, well, I can't. From the first time I met her, I would have said there's absolutely no way she liked that. But then after meeting her and going through that experience with her, I said, well, maybe there's something to it. Like, I can't obviously comment that. We don't know and we never will know exactly the full extent of it. But I just thought she would have been a bit more gracious. Mm. That's somebody that she'd been so nice to.
And even if she didn't, just pretend.
Or even pretend. Yeah. Go, how's your husband now? That's all it would have taken. Uh-huh.
Like those junkets as well, like they could be doing, how many would they do?
They do so many. It's like 15 minutes. You get 6 minutes. Okay. Like they just, it's a revolving door. Yeah. But then there's people like, I remember doing one and people always saying, oh, Renée Zellweger, she's a nightmare. And she was doing the stuff with Patrick Dempsey for
Bridget Jones.
Mm. And I was going, oh, Jesus, couldn't have been nicer.
Really?
Couldn't have been nicer. Nice. We were having so much fun with Patrick Dempsey doing stupid Irish accents. And I kept having her saying 33 and a third.
Oh, yeah.
So here's me, Renée Zellweger, doing 33 and a third. 33 and a third.
That's a good one,
and then and the people are, here's our PR going, and she's going, let Ellen talk.
Oh, wow.
So there's some people that you just think are going to be, because everybody kept saying, she's not in good humor. She has a cold.
That make you nervous?
You do. Then you
Even though they're just normal people, like, but they're not, they're celebrities, but. It, they're people at the end of the day. You still get that, like...
Oh, you do. Every time you go into a junket like that, yeah. Like I remember going into Helen Mirren, and Carl's a big fan of Helen Mirren, yeah. So I brought Carl with me.
Yeah.
And she was just amazingly beautiful. Yeah. And then, of course, the big one we did with Kylie, and Carl is such a Kylie fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we went over to Birmingham when she was doing her concert in Birmingham, because before she came here.
Yeah.
And... when I say couldn't have been nicer,
I love hearing that.
Was an absolute dote, and came in, and Carl was like fangirling over. Yeah, yeah, I said, "Oh, I went to see your last concert here and there," and she went, "Oh, you're one of those fans." And Carl said, "No, I'm not really," but like she couldn't be nicer. 15 minutes chatting away, rushing out.
Yeah.
And Graham Norton's the same.
Yeah,
I mean,
you have that magic. I really do. Like you know, like say Alison Hammond, she has this magic. You have this ability to, like, I think, make people feel comfortable bring something fun out of them, because
that's charisma.
That's not everyone can do that.
No.
Well, maybe not, but I mean, I just always go in with a bit of sort of like, Asher, how are you?
Yeah.
Like Graham Norton's like that. Graham Norton will stay around having the chats with you for 20 minutes after.
Love
like with the last time I interviewed Graham, his PR people were outside, kept looking in, and he went, "Oh, do you want me to go?"
He's like, the opposite. He's like, "Yeah, move on." And has there been anyone that has been particularly, you're just like, that was just not a nice moment where you'd be
You know what? Not terrible. There's been some people, like we'd Fergie on, like the Duchess of York.
Oh, well.
I mean, and that was just all about the people around her that made the whole thing very sterile.
Yeah.
Right. She herself was fine, but the whole thing of this entourage arriving and just...
Was she in studio?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm obsessed with Sarah Ferguson.
Yeah, so, like, but she was lovely, but it's just when there's so many people and then when they come into studio and then we're literally coming over and fixing her hair and doing all that, you know, but you know, one of my favorite guests is, and every time she comes on is, what's the makeup one, darling?
Oh, Charlotte Tilbury.
Tilbury.
Yeah.
Darling.
She's wild.
Darling. Yeah. And then last time we interviewed her, she said, "I'm the number one makeup artist in the world, darling." Yeah. She said it about 20 times. Yeah. And I said, "Charlotte, are you sure you're the number one makeup artist in the world?" But I mean, do you know that she comes in and she would have a team of people with her.
Yeah.
I mean, she does nothing without a team of people with her, but she will leave a mass amount of makeup and brands and everything for everyone in the studio.
Yeah.
The camera people, the sound people, the runner will get a little bag of Charlotte Tilbury makeup.
And that's why she's number one.
That's why she's number one. But there's people like that. I love when people like that come in because you look forward to meeting
her. Gas.
But then the whole room is transformed.
Yeah.
They put white muslin up. They light candles. There's flowers. This. Oh, there's flowers brought in. We had to move out of our green room for her.
Oh,
my God.
But then she's fabulous. Yeah, so you don't mind that.
Yeah, the eye creams travel in the fridge, don't they?
Yeah.
The eye cream is always in a fridge at all times. Love that. Yeah.
But she will have somebody coming over to her just before you go on air going, fixing that little bit of hair and a little bit of blush there. And
just, we need that, Victoria.
We need that. Come here. I really want to talk about Panto because you touched on it briefly, but like we have gone pretty much every year.
Yeah.
It's always one of the best nights out. I don't know how it started, how it happened, but now it is pretty much one of the biggest Pantos in Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, thank God, and that's because of our just the fans who just come year after year. And I think lately I've been very vocal about the Lately musical from last year, the Toy Show musical, and the fiasco that was, without being controversial on your podcast. But look, I mean, I started my Panto career with Twink in the Gaiety about 27 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then I worked in other Panto productions. And then Carl said to me one time when I was up, we were up in St. Anthony's Hall up the road. And he said, "Why don't we do our own?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, we couldn't do our own."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he sort of said, "Well, why not? Let's try it." So we did.
Yeah.
And that was our first one.
Where did you do the first one?
In St. Anthony's little theatre up on Merchant's Quay.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That was a 200-seater. Little 200-seater. And we packed it.
Yeah.
We packed it and went to our own surprise. And I remember it cost us 22,000 to put on.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The whole thing.
How long did you do? What was the first road?
It was Snow White. Oh, and we ran it for 4 weeks and it cost 22,000.
Okay.
You've asked me now how much the pentacle cost.
Listen, we'll take that. The screens alone yes. are probably 22
more.
Yes. I mean, you're now in the National Stadium, which is, I feel like, I love it too. It's so good. It has Irish charm to it for a start. Yeah. And also it's got that big space. Also, there's not a bad seat in the house.
No, there's not a bad seat in the house. It is like this little amphitheater that you sit around. And when we moved in first, the first year we moved in, this would be our fourth year. But then 2 years of COVID. So we were on, we were off.
It was an awful year. We were trying to get to it.
2 years of, 2 years, like, and that's why the Toy Show musical last year, I just thought, then the theatre producers coming out of COVID 2 years, we were on our feet, we were on our back, sort of, in a good way.
Yeah.
Not in a good way.
Not in a good way.
We brought
tears of sadness, tears of sadness.
I knew I was going to say something that I regret. But we were like, the arts was decimated for those 2 years. Luckily, I still had the TV to fall back on. Right, but for those people who didn't, and then for RT to weigh in with a big show with that, when we've heard the budgets now, I just didn't think it was fair. But luckily, look, we're through it. This year, it's our 25th year.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
So it's our 25th anniversary.
Your silver anniversary. Yeah.
Sammy, Buffy and the Beanstalk at the National Stadium. Panto.ie. Tickets. Get your tickets. Get your tickets. They're on sale now.
And actually, do you know what? Like, when you know when you're thinking of, because you'll always announce the next panto, like at the panto this year, you'll announce what you're doing next year. Like, is there only so many that you kind of like that you have to rotate, or how do you pick a
there's only so many that we will do because we try to stick to the traditional ones.
Okay.
Some other theatres will go off and do like ones that I would never try to do. We always stick. There's about seven or eight the traditional ones, like your Cinderella, your Snow White, your, as we say now, it's Sammy Buffy because they're the two characters in the show, but Jack and the Beanstalk, all that type of thing, Sleeping Beauty.
That's so the part
you basically
well,
then just rotate them. So then it'd be like 7 or 8 years later, you'll have done the next one. Now, some you'll always try and do a Cinderella every 4 or 5 years.
Is that the most popular?
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
By a mile. If you do Cinderella,
People want the classics.
Cinderella, it's just, you'll get an extra 20% box office if you do Cinderella.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there's a few classic moments from the pantos over the years that me and Davina still reference all the time. Like, we were obsessed with the Beast 1 year from Beauty and the Beast. And we just kept referencing some of the lines that Beast had when Dolly was in your panto one year.
Of course.
We still reference that.
I know Dolly doesn't. Dolly doesn't listen to this sort of, but someone said once, "Oh yeah, I love the old man from Panto," and I was like, "Oh, that's Dolly." And she was like, "They did not say that." And I was like, "The fuck is this?"
So that lasted a little while. Said
that. So I would refer to Dolly as the old man from Panto. She won't
listen. Oh, we love Dolly.
And what do you know? And the sexy daddies, of course.
Oh, well,
Buffy,
that.
Like Buffy the man eating, like Buffy is like hello daddies. How are you daddies? And thanks to Tails. And so we have that.
Rob's like, hilarious in that role.
Rob Murphy is funny. Just so funny in it. I mean, he has become like the confidence, but he has funny bones. That you can't teach anyone that. Like, he has funny bones.
Yeah.
Just even the way he looks at it. And then when he goes down, he goes, "How are you, daddy?" The poor fathers and the kids are.
Stephen does that too. So,
I just sometimes I don't have to say it.
And it doesn't be at the patch.
No.
You're blushing there.
Oh, dear. But like, he has funny bones and we have such fun doing it. It's bloody hard work. Mm-hmm. You're doing two shows a day, but the reaction you get from the audience and the kids and just, it is great.
It's
they love it.
It's not just the kids. It really isn't.
Well, Carl writes it, the way Carl writes it's very double entendre. It's a bit like those old Carry On movies where you're just slightly.
Yeah,
I love
the
it.
Edge.
I
you're on
others,
the edge,
and there's no jokes in the other in some of the others yeah. for me.
Do you know
when I go to yours? There's always
you're
jokes
always laughing.
You get a chuckle.
Yes, you're laughing.
You,
yeah.
love
you,
know
you get more than a chuckle, darling. You get belly laughs. Yeah.
Do you ever think, what about doing like an adult panto? Or
no,
like, never.
No, we've been asked so many times to do it, and then no, it just wouldn't be something.
It also takes over your life, doesn't it?
Yeah, no. I mean, just see when we're doing it. It's so full on. Like, remember, we're producing it. I'm in it. Carl's there. We're there every single night.
When did you start the prep for it?
We are actually, like, we've casting with today. We're casting more people today.
Wow.
And it's July. We've cast Johnny Ward from Fair City, who just got married there recently.
Yeah.
So he's going to play the baddie. We've cast him. We've some other people that we're going to make an announcement about in the next couple of weeks. So you're from about May.
Wow, that's so
you're people. Sort of thinking about it all the time.
So you only kind of get really like about 2-3 months.
Yeah. Off. January, when it closes and everything is cordoned off and, you know, everything is done.
Yeah.
I try not to think about it till start of May, maybe. Mm, but you always have to. Well, you're always on the lookout. Like if somebody was doing a show and you go, God, they're really good, they'd be good in the panto.
Yeah, yeah,
or do you know, like whoever won maybe Dancing with the Stars. Mm-hmm. You know, so I
you
did say
last to, minute
you know, I said to Brooke, I sort of said, would you be interested in panto? She said, yeah, but not this year, maybe next year, something like that. You know.
Yeah.
So there's you'll always have people on your radar that you might be looking around
and
for.
Suppose what's kind of good is thinking Ireland as well, that all these people do kind of come up like through the likes of Brooke or I know you had Pamela Miss Ireland.
Yeah.
And there's people that are kind of, you know.
But over the years in our panto, and I think we've had like from Amanda Brunker, Niamh Kavanagh, Linda Martin, we've had all these people at Pippa O'Connor. Brian Dowling.
Brian Dowling.
A couple of times in the panto.
I literally found this photo yesterday. I literally only sent it to Brian. Do you remember I did his makeup for the Magic Mirror?
Oh, yes.
Do you remember? And he was like, there he is there. Do you remember?
Oh, my God.
Do you remember that?
That's just after he won Ultimate Big Brother.
Because I literally found that yesterday and I sent it to him and he said, darling, my head was so tight after that wig all day. He's like, but I look so hot.
But that he'd won Ultimate Big Brother. We had to put him on a screen because we couldn't afford him for the run.
Literally, he's there. He loved it.
Oh, no. But yeah, Brian's been in a good few times. And like over the years, it's been mad the people we've had in Amanda Brunker, everyone like, but Linda and Niamh, like Niamh has been in a few times and so has Linda, and they were their first times they'd ever done any kind of shows with us.
Wow. Yeah.
And now they continue to do shows, especially Niamh does a lot of stuff, but that was their first time in acting and stuff like that. Just sort of, but we always try to put a name or someone like that people mightn't expect into the show you just go,
it's like the unknown and what's going to happen.
Yeah, but there's also a bit of star quality because even if they're not great, and some of them are not, let's be honest, we're great over the years.
Dolly.
But the bit of star power helps along the way, you know, because people are just looking at going, no, I'm not saying like, okay, Niamh has always been brilliant, because the thing is, and Mary Byrne and stuff like that, we've had them in a few times.
She's another Ballyferma Rose, isn't she?
So like, and we've had Joe Duffy. Joe Duffy played the mirror.
Did he?
Yeah. Oh, Joe Duffy played the mirror for us the last year, the Tivoli, before the Tivoli was pulled down.
Oh, I missed the Tivoli so bad.
I know. It's shocking because I remember somebody from the Dublin Theatre Festival saying there recently that there's less theatres in Dublin now than there was 20 years ago. Just to stage shows.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to put shows on.
Could you imagine if we had that outdoor space during COVID, the back of the car park?
Yeah.
They were able to fit like 1,000 people out there. There's
just
something
to do things.
Happen.
I mean, it's scandalous that they were able to give that should have been retained as a theatre for Dublin. Not just for us
space.
To do anything, but for Dublin.
And historically
no
as well.
Like, yeah.
Even the space underneath it, like the standing space, 1,000
downstairs in that nightclub. Yeah.
The whole building could hold, I think, about 2,500 when it's fully open. Yeah. And then Arthur Guinness Theatre only around the corner as well.
But that's still there. There's possibility of that.
So I was asking them, like, is there plans? They said, hopefully in the future.
Like, we need more space.
You definitely need more theatre spaces in Dublin. It's disgraceful that we've nowhere like that. And then all the big ones are run by Live Nation and stuff. Yeah. So, like, for independent producers to try and get in.
It's almost
sense of
I mean, that's why the National Stadium, that's why we're so proud of the National Stadium, because they opened the doors to us and we were their first big sort of theatrical event to come in. And they went, this is, we should be doing this more.
That's great.
And my God, they've been, they're packing them in with different events now. That's like amazing.
And it feels very like the community are in there and running it.
Part of it. And it is. It is. It's the local community. Local people are there working there and stuff like that. And I love that. And I love the fact that, that we are now keeping that tradition going. Like the boxing is there, but now hopefully the panto will be a big tradition every Christmas. And we've signed there for a number of years
to
come.
Amazing. And people probably wouldn't know, but during COVID, when we were shut down, I think it was in 2021, you were doing the panto in there. And within the space of a week, I was able to have an event in the George, and then I couldn't have an event in the George because it needed to be like spatially, like, what was it called? When you had to...
Aware, spatial awareness.
Social distancing.
So you reached out and said, our show was finished at like, you know, nine or so, if you wanted to come in afterwards. And that was the only way I was able to still do something. 500 people had to be spaced out among them, 2,000 seats. So thank you for that.
No
that
problem.
Amazing.
It was a great night.
Like, well, yeah.
Well, I suppose we're probably close to wrap things up, but I suppose I was just thinking what a good way to kind of wrap things up is, like, you've had such an amazing kind of a long career in TV and especially on Ireland AM, and of all the zany and mad stuff that they've got you to do over the years, is there anything that sticks out in your head as just like the gassest moment that you did, or something that is a really fun fond memory to like wrap it up
there's
on?
There's been so many, but I think one that always sticks in my head was that we were doing it's a stupid thing, but it was to eat the hottest chicken wings in the world. The hottest chili chicken wings. And like, so we've sort of had this challenge. So I'm digging into them. And then suddenly I felt the heat. And my lips started to swell. Yous wouldn't know anything about that.
Don't know what you're talking about.
My lips started to swell live on air, and I could feel it. And then they had to get me milk, and they had to say, and I literally, then the water streaming down my face, and I just wasn't right the day. My lips, I thought they were going to have to take me to hospital.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And was it a reaction, or was it actually just that it was just so hot. Oh, wow.
It was the world's hottest chicken wings, and me like a fool going, oh, I'll show them. These are great.
One thing as well, like, always shows up for some reason. It always shows up on those, you know, live on TV moments, was the river dance massage.
God.
I never saw that.
We had this woman in who did river dance. It was like a basic massage. The girl was lying on the table and then they started the river dance music. And she was doing the moves to the Riverdance music. Well, I was on the floor laughing, couldn't control it. But it was like the most bizarre thing that anyone had ever, like, we were all going, and she's in her full sort of river dance dress thing as well, and she's doing this.
Amazing.
Like, nicer to say, we've polished some shite over the years.
That's why, like, there's just, I love those features, and they always seem to land you in doing these.
Yeah, exactly, because they know I'm up for it.
Yeah.
They know I'm up for it. But yet, the river dance massage does come up from on Gogglebox or like past times and stuff.
It's how you still keep quite professional, even though it's chaos is going on around
you. Oh, totally chaos. Like this one, full seriousness.
Yeah.
Oh, she, like, and she's looking at me while I was laughing at this. She's there doing this massage to the, in the full river dance. And I'm going, this is the most bonkers thing I've ever seen in my life. So God. But look at, welcome to morning television.
I think that's a really nice way to wrap it up.
Absolutely.
Thanks so
much. It's lovely being chatting to you. Thank you so much.
Well, listen, you can check Alan out like on most mornings on
Monday to Thursday.
Friday, Ireland AM.
And panto.ie, if you want to come and see the panto, it's always great fun. And we're hoping this is going to be a huge year for our 25th.
We look forward to seeing it.
Thank you,
Alan.
Thank you.
Well, that was our interview with Alan Hughes, and what an interview it was, and what a good bit of little like celeb juice we got. Mm-hmm. And also, he's just a bit of crack.
So yeah.
That was, I really enjoyed
it. What part in panto would you like to play?
Cinderella, of course.
Oh no. Give me the evil queen. I would really enjoy that. If you were Cinderella, I was the evil queen.
You have a good like cackle though. Yeah.
I love. Okay.
Yeah, I would like to do panto.
Would you do panto?
Do you know, it was like when we were saying it, I was like, I actually think I'd love to do an adult panto.
Yeah.
Like if it was well written.
Yeah.
Like if not if it was like if
and
it was
only in Dublin.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like yeah. I would be like, we used to do pandas with Shirley all the time.
Yeah.
And we had like, there was actually like lines we had to learn, and Yeah, that was actually really fun.
That's huge in the UK, you know that?
Yeah, I
like,
know.
That's huge.
See, do you know what I think kind of let it down here for us? I think was the fact is the techie vibes. Like we should have had like headset mics and it was hard to hold a mic and deliver a line and kind of, you know, like that kind of way. But it's definitely, let's get on to Shirley and get her. We got her tried it.
Okay.
Okay, well, listen, we're here at our favorite time of the week and we are going to play the jingle. Hit it, Stephen. It is Rotter of the Week. We are back now. We're not that rotted because Pride season is over. Mm-hmm. Well, for us.
Yeah. We're so, actually feeling pretty zen, to be honest.
So I was like, oh my God, I'm feeling, nothing's really rotting me now.
Me neither, Deirdre.
But we have been talking and I tell you, my first rotter is, and I feel like you can relate to this. Everyone can relate to this. Is when you go onto a website and you're trying to, you know, like I would say, I'm going to say, let me see. Like when you're trying to buy something online, and it's like, oh, you put everything in your basket and then you go to checkout.
Okay.
And then you go create account. And you're like, oh, I don't have an account. And then you just put in your checkout as guest, put in your email address. And then it's like, oh, this account is recognized. You do have an account. So you go back in and then it's like, forgot password. So then you click forget password and then it goes and asks for your email address again. I'm like, I just put in my email address.
Yes.
Why are you asking me again?
Yeah.
And it's like, bad enough I forgot the password. Bad enough I forgot I had an account. 100%. Bad enough I'm buying more shite I don't need on this website.
Yeah.
But yet now you're asking me for the password again. It's just the constant, it's like the cookies, accepting cookies, same kind of thing. Uh-huh. It rots me to the core.
Yeah.
Whereas, and it's so simple and so petty, but I'm just like, why is that so necessary?
Completely.
Did you agree?
I completely agree because it happens to me all the time. I'm not good at remembering passwords in general. I'm not even good at remembering, have I used this website before? Like the cookies are still fucking rotting me. Like every single time I go onto a news website, it asks me about the cookies. I'm like, I'm here all the time, bitch. Like leave me alone. But the worst is when you click forget password and then you're waiting for the link to come through to reset your password and it just doesn't come through.
Or it goes into the spam.
Oh, maybe that is where it is. Yeah. I never look at the spam.
Sometimes it's spam is just so rotten as well. So yeah, that's my first rotter of the week. What is your rotter of the week?
Mine would be like it's related to queuing. It's absolutely related to queuing. I was on a flight recently and it wasn't even, do you know what? It actually wasn't even Ryanair because they're renowned for like sticking you in a fucking hallway, sweating to bits you are. You've got your, especially at Ryanair, you're wearing about six outfits at the same time. Yeah. So they're not charging for the bags. But it wasn't even that. It's pissing outside. The flight is running late. And why am I queuing when you're not letting anyone on the plane? Why am I? And you know, the other thing was I was going over for one night. So I'd done my hair. So my hair was looking nice. And like, I'm a bit, you know, sensitive about the old hair as well.
Yeah.
So like, if I have it set.
It's set and it's done.
It's done.
Job
and
done.
I was going to go straight out and the fucking rain is coming down. So I'm like trying to put something over my head. Like Nora from like fucking like Mayo, like trying to set, like protect the set.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, why the fuck am I out here? I'm also in the outfit that I'm wearing tonight and it's wet now. It's fucking wet. So just cues everywhere we go.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily like, why do you have to be queued outside? Like cattle. The cattle had to be taken off.
Do you remember Bride? Yes.
I have one more rotter that I actually just thought of as we were talking there. And of course it's summertime in the city and there's lots of tourists around.
Yeah.
And I just noticed this. I noticed this actually when we were going to our little spa getaway last week. Trinity College outside the front is like so overgrown with like weeds and like the garden in the in the very front has been overgrown for so long now. And it's like, why has nobody cut that grass? And that is such a tourist destination. Like, it looks so scruffy and the weeds are like so high.
I'm shocked at that.
Yeah, but it's been like that for ages.
Surely they have tons of money to be like doing stuff like that.
That's what I'm kind of like. I'm kind of going, am I missing something here?
Yeah.
Like, is it because especially Trinity College is such a destination for tourists and it just looks so unkept and untidy. And then when we're driving down, like all the middles of the roads are getting like full of like bushes and like everything's really overgrown, of course, because it's summer, things are grown. But there seems to be like nobody maintaining the greenery around the city. Like, it's just getting kind of out of control.
And like, it's not as if you're asking for Charlie Dimmock come over and put in a water feature.
Sticking you just out, want
like trim the weeds.
Listen, there's like people as lawnmowers these days. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You can actually just go like a driverless lawnmower, just lash it out and just get rid of it.
I've been eyeing up those Hoovers.
Yeah,
I don't need one. It's stupid, but like,
someone I know, I think Someone I know has one of them. It's actually like pretty good.
I think it would just get stuck. Do you know what actually happened to us? Yeah, we'd get a lot of wig hair stuck in it.
Oh my God. And then just go on fire and blow up. Fucking be like, oh, I'm rotted because my driverless vacuum blew up my house.
I love it. Mine is not necessarily a rotter. It's more of a rotter slash request.
Okay.
Like we get asked for like nice little photos all the time. You want to do them. You do, right?
Yeah.
But like sometimes you're just running to the bar to get a mixer and you could be on in 1 minute's time and someone's like, ask for a photo. They never have the flash on. They just never do. Yeah.
Put your flashes on.
Like,
people.
Just put your flash on because, like, you're asking and then you're delaying and then, like, and then also, like, people are trying to talk to you at the same time. And I'm always thinking in my head, don't be talking because then you're going to get this rotten photo for this person too. Yeah. So hold that nice smile, hold that pose. Like,
you don't need to take a nice photo of this. So that's
just
probably
turn on.
Tired of
I'm
work.
Just going to ignore that, y'all.
Tired of work. For you.
I'm just ignoring that. Just going to ignore that. Okay?
Listen, that's, we're not particularly rotted, and nobody, thank God, has actually been particularly rotted us this week. So it's nice that it's been quite just kind of surrounding rotters.
That spa hotel really paid off in the end.
See, we're zen. I'm going for another luxury massage today, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just actually.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, I'm getting a facial tomorrow.
Oh, very good. Oh, lucky bitch. It's your anniversary, is it?
Love it.
Listen, I think we'll wrap things up there. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed our chat with Alan. We're going to be back in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Remember, check us out on patreon.net. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll be over there now with a brand new episode if you haven't got enough. Also, while we have it, leave us a review. Five stars only. We are 5-star divas. So find us.
I just want to say as well, thank you to everyone that sent out messages about their Mr. Pussy interview. People saying it was our best episode so far. Yeah. If you haven't checked it out, do check that out. It was absolutely such a pleasure to have Alan in, and it made me think. I definitely think there's more to it, so maybe we should look at doing it
at more another, of those kind of
yeah,
stories,
because he is literally an Irish legend. Yeah.
So if you have any suggestions,
send us some suggestions of people that you think we should have in. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Until in the meantime, next time, stay petty.
Stay petty.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.